Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A development we're going to have to watch. China is resisting bilateral nuclear arms reduction talks with the United States. Let me give you the quick background on that. The U.S. has over 7,000 nuclear warheads. 7,000, plenty. Russia has over 7,000 too. Each of us has roughly 7,300, 7,500. China, up until recently, had 250. So you can say, oh, well, we win. Well, no. If one nuclear weapon goes off, there'd be a world war, and it would be a destruction of humanity. You can't have that. Certainly 250 is a significant nuclear deterrent. What people suspect, and frankly what I suspect, is that China is going to continue to manufacture nuclear weapons until they're close to parity with Russia and the United States. Now, the problem with that is when they have thousands of nuclear weapons. You know, Russia had them when they were a communist country, when they were the Soviet Union, is actually a union of a number of countries. But they were able to keep control of them when the Soviet Union broke up. For instance, Ukraine had nuclear weapons. And we worked with Ukraine. They surrendered them. We said we would defend them. And we have defended them against Russia. And we should continue to do that. You don't want these weapons falling into the hands of people. As bad as the communists are and so on, you know, Pakistan has them, jihadists, but as long as semi-rational, semi-responsible people have control of them, you have some control over their launch. If these get into the hands of rogue groups, whether in Russia, China, Pakistan, for instance, Iran, one of the concerns about Iran is that they have the Iranian Revolutionary Guard in control of that country. They do have moderates, very fine people who are getting squeezed out. If you have the wrong people getting hold of one of those things, they will launch them without regard to the consequences, and there'll be a response and retaliation. You can't have that. So what do we do with China? What do we do with China? They continue to menace Taiwan. They start just basically distant menacing of Japan and South Korea, certainly the Philippines and Vietnam, and they have suggested at some higher levels, not Xi himself, not the head guy, that essentially eventually Australia is theirs. So we can't have that. You know, they're a big country, about 1.5 billion people. They're fine people. There are no people on the face of this earth who are our enemies. All people are equal. All people are our friends and potential friends. But there are some governmental structures that are wrong, that are corrupt, that are cancerous. And communism is one of them. Jihad is another one. So China, as they start goosing it up from 250 nuclear weapons to 1,000, 2,000, what's the purpose of that? The purpose of it is sort of like gravity. The bigger the body, it affects the gravitational impact. I mean, here, what you're going to have is an overwhelming nuclear power that's suddenly more nationalistic than it was. And Taiwan has property and island 10 miles from their coast. And Taiwan is about 100 miles from their coast. Vietnam is right there. Japan and South Korea right there. The Philippines are already sending hundreds of ships in. They claim they're fishing ships. They're not fishing ships. Well, they may do some fishing. But they are there simply to invade Philippine waters and establish hegemony in the South China Sea. So keep an eye on that. Nothing you can do about it. Should not disturb your morning coffee, but you've got to be aware of this. You have got to be aware of this. Back in the United States, there's some very, very interesting developments that, in my view, are going nowhere. I'll give you a couple of them. Rudy Giuliani has a son named Andrew Giuliani. And I don't know much about him. Nobody does. But he has a famous name. It's not necessarily famous for a good reason. It used to be famous for a good reason. He was governor. He was a mayor in New York, and he was U.S. attorney in Manhattan. And crime went down on his watch. Ran for president. Republican primary in 2012 when he was number one in the polls for a week or two. I mean, substantial guy until he became servile to Trump and is now under criminal not indictment or prosecution, but investigation in New York. So Andrew Cuomo, strike that, Andrew, there's two Andrews. I got to say that. Andrew Cuomo and Andrew Giuliani. Andrew Cuomo is Mario Cuomo's son. He is the governor. He's a very good governor. Democrat, we want to keep him. Andrew Giuliani is, frankly, an odd guy. Well, he has just announced that he's going to run for governor of New York. Of New York. So if he gets the nomination, it'll be Andrew Giuliani against Andrew Cuomo. Now, frankly, Andrew Giuliani brings nothing to the table in this thing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, no experience, no track record of civic service. And frankly, just hearing the guy and looking at him, I have this feeling I'd like to know him better. You can't help, you know, how you hear, you, how you appear and look initially. And I don't mean just physically, I mean what you say. But this guy would be a disaster. You know, he's a strong Trump supporter. Now, in New York, I don't see how that helps him. I don't see how that helps him, but he's a strong Trump supporter. And there are people in the Democratic Party who are doing their best to drag down Andrew Cuomo. And if Andrew Giuliani ever got in as governor, it'd be very bad for New York, very bad for the country, very bad for the Democratic Party. So stand by. That is what is cooking in New York. I mean, there's so many bizarre things with Rudy Giuliani. This fall from grace, this descent from being a prominent figure in the Republican Party in United States politics to having a bit part in Borat's subsequent movie film in a kind of a weird way, and what he did with the Ukrainian people, the thugs over there, trying to subvert the Ukrainian government, subvert U.S. foreign policy, profited from it. He worked with pro-Russian people in Ukraine. There are people who are pro-Russian in eastern Ukraine who are trying to turn Ukraine into a Russian satellite. Rudy Giuliani did Putin's work in Ukraine. So how does this help Andrew Giuliani? It's not Andrew Giuliani's fault. It wasn't he who did it, but you come wandering on the scene and you go, well, I'm going to run for something because I have a famous name. Okay. Well, if that's what you're running on, okay. Well, say good luck. What is your namesake famous for? Well, if your namesake is famous for being under criminal investigation in New York for treason, for colluding with enemies of one of our allies and therefore enemies of the United States, I don't see how that helps you. I simply don't see how that helps you. So I don't think he's going anywhere. There's a guy named Lee Zeldin, a congressman from Staten Island, a Republican. I think he's the last Republican to hold a congressional seat in the city of in New York. Staten Island is a borough of New York, just like the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan. Zeldin is going to be a short-termer the way things are going. He at least is semi-rational, would never vote for him, pro-Trump. I don't see how he's going to win in that state. But stand by in New York is going to be a massive Republican primary for governor, and Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew, is going to be right at the top of the news. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you.